This is the Final Whistle podcast from the Wrexham AFC media team. Hi, I'm Mark Griffiths, and welcome to the latest edition of The Lowdown, in which I'll take you on a little scouting journey about Wrexham's next opposition, Hartlepool United next. And I guess we've got to put a couple of caveats at the start of this. The first one, and maybe the most obvious one, is will the circumstances of the match at Victoria Park mean Hartlepool pay out of character? We're going to get a full house, pretty much. Awful lot of neutrals there supporting Hartlepool. Will this lift them? Is this a terrible piece of timing for Wrexham in terms of getting a result against a side which, as I'll explain in a moment, don't look too clever lately? Or, you know, will the big crowds do little for them and they'll just play as expected? That's the first caveat. Second one is, how will they line up? Really hard to judge, because Craig Harrison has really been shuffling his pack lately, and it's difficult to discern a consistent pattern. He tends to vacillate between a 4-3-3 and a 4-2-3-1, sometimes within the same game, sometimes not. Within those formations, he moves players round a lot, best signified by Donnelly, who played pretty well in the last match as a holding midfielder, was right back the game before, was left-sided centre-back the game before that. So even if he generally sticks to those two shapes, then he'll move things around within it. Common factors in their lineups: Jake Cassidy up front is the focal point and the target man. He's big, physical, awkward, decent in the air. But in the 4-3-3, I felt he looks like he can get isolated rather. He pulls that wide to try and give it a target for diagonals. When they play 4-2-3-1, they're able to get players around him a little bit more. Jonathan Franks is the quality attacking player who, well, when they play a 4-2-3-1, tends to play off Cassidy, at least initially, although they have players in the second line who can switch positions around. He's equally happy on the flanks, but it's whether they can work him into dangerous positions. But he is a nice player, looks to have 2 feet, able to cut inside and shoot from either flank, able to deliver crosses for Cassidy as well. The other class act is Nicky Devedix at left back, and there, and it is maybe part of Hartley's problem, that they've played him left back all season. He's plainly better employed, as far as I can see, higher up the pitch, which is where he was playing when he's doing well for Dover. Reminiscent in some senses to Marcus Kelly, left-footed, creative player. For me, would look happier in midfield than at left back. He's got very good delivery from set pieces. He's very calm in possession, looks to play his way out from the back, looks to pass his way out of trouble from the back. But I don't follow why they play him at left back, to be honest with you, for a number of reasons. Firstly, he can't hurt you with his passing from so deep. He's not pacey, so he doesn't tend to overlap, doesn't tend to back himself to go forwards. Not least because when he does that, if his teammates, who aren't as good at protecting the ball as he is, lose it, he's not going to get back. And also, I don't follow the logic of the left-back, because he's not that great a left-back, I don't think. Good player, very good player, but not there. So it's a strange one. When they came to the racecourse earlier this season and scouting their leading games up to that, they pressed very hard. They really put pressure on you when you're on the ball. They don't seem to anymore. It was really odd, the Dagenham game, the last game they lost 4-2 at Dagenham. And straight from the kickoff, they pressed ferociously. And you thought, hello, right? This is no change there. After 30 seconds of the game, didn't really do it again. They tend to stand off, they give teams too much space on the ball. They seem to hope that their shape will be all right. So they'll retreat, they'll let you pass the ball around to the halfway line, drop off, and then try and invite you to pass the way through. But there's too much gap between their lines. I put it up on the club website, little clip, which is quite embarrassing. It was so easy for Dagenham to pass through because Devedix was too wide, because Parsons had the channel between him and the centre-back. Then once that player got in there, the defence dropped off trying to cover. Nobody picked up runners from midfield, and he just pulled it back to players on the mark on the edge of the area. It was horrible defending. If you're trying to defend like that, relying on your shape rather than being able to pressure the ball, you've got to be a lot tighter than that. So there were a lot of issues. Also, Michael Ledger, the young centre-back on loan from Sunderland, who played well against us earlier in the season, has looked vulnerable in the last couple of games. You do get that with young lads on loan, don't you? They got the ability, but the week-in, week-out grind of playing in the first team wears them down, and he looks quite vulnerable to balls in behind him, was quite guilty of ball watching on a few occasions. So there were a lot of patches and vulnerable points in how they lined themselves up. And yet, like I said, how will they perform? Will they be motivated when they're backed by 6,000 fans who are going to back them up? Or if we can do a number on them, and I'm sort of thinking of the way we played at Chester and Tranmere, just be tight and solid. Will those neutrals soon lose their voices because, well, it's not actually their team, and so they might come with a bit of initial verve, but they may not sustain it, and then we can grind a result out of them. We'll see. I think it's going to be interesting. This is the Final Whistle Podcast from the Wrexham AFC media team.